Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy sunny, hopefully where you are, sunny Tech Tuesday. If you've been following our show, Doctor's Orders, today is our Technical Tuesday where we teach a lot of tech concepts for business owners. As a reminder, I'm Dr. Baker, the owner of the only business hospital in the world. And all that means is that it's my job every day that I wake up is to make sure that your business is operating at maximum efficiency, that your operation is healthy, and that you're growing as a business owner, regardless of the size of business that you carry. In the event that you want to join our dialogue today, you can do so. The call-in number is 859-291-2255. Once again, that phone number is 859-291-2255. And if you want to send a note directly, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. Once again, that's info@drbaker.us. And as we talk about different topics that are very important to us as business owners, just want to remind that our definition of small business is $50 million and under, or 500 employees or less, and it's industry agnostic. We're talking mom and pop shops, micro and boutique businesses. We're also talking about startup founders and legacy family businesses and the like. So if you're a business owner out there and you're looking for a way to do better, increase your revenue, work smarter and not harder, all of the things that you typically hear, but no one quite tells you what to do or how to do, that's the purpose of our existence. We're willing to talk to you all over the air about any of those aspects, and privately, in the event that you think that you need business treatment, we're here to make sure that your business grows and gets better. I'm really excited about today's guest. He's been a guest before, and he's a partner of ours, if you will, operates as a hospital wing of ours, and just the work that he does is so vitally important. We'll be bringing back Joe Toto in a little bit later here in a moment, but I want to talk about just how important it is to understand your technology needs and how, as a business owner, you may get lost sometimes in what's important from a technology standpoint, how to integrate certain bits of technology. You know, it can be so confusing that you might even ignore your technological needs. And that's never a good thing. You know, ignoring something doesn't make something go away. It really just exacerbates the issue and makes the problem larger once you get a chance to actually visit it. And so in this instance, I don't want a business owner to be afraid of their technology or technology stack, if you will, and just embrace that there's some learning that has to take place and there are some hard decisions that have to be made, whether you invest in the technology, whether you bring someone in full time to assist you with your technology needs, whether you buy a new product or service, all of that are, you know, exist as large decision-making realities. And in that instance, I don't want you to be afraid of that if you're a business owner. And so without further ado, I'd like to bring in Joe Toe of Tier 5, and Tier 5 is a managed IT company. Joe, how you doing today?
Good. How about yourself? Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Overall, doing really, really well. Got some traveling to do today, but I said, no matter what, I have to get on this air and help these business owners understand technology a little better. And so before we get going, let's create a baseline for the listeners. If you don't mind, will you remind the listeners what you do at Tier 5, what is Tier 5, and how you guys make the world better through your services?
Absolutely. So, as you mentioned, we are a managed IT services provider with a heavy focus on small business. And essentially what that means is we like to position ourselves to our customers as an IT department in a box. So, you know, basically providing a turnkey solution to most, if not all, of a small business's IT needs. So whether that's managed security services, infrastructure, application development, we've kind of touched it all, you know, kind of act as a virtual CIO on behalf of our client organizations.
Well, you know, you just mentioned something, or at least a statement, that actually I want to go into today, and that's fractional work. You know, you didn't necessarily call yourselves, you know, that fractional team, but you service as a fractional team. And fractional is something that wasn't a term that I know that I heard before 10 years ago. And heck, maybe not even longer than 5 years ago. But how common is it now that companies say, we may not afford a full-time CIO or CTO even, but we can bring in this individual or this entity in fractionally? How much have you seen that in your space, and particularly amongst your company?
Oh, tons. Yeah, and obviously not just for IT services. We've seen it done for accounting, marketing, sales in some regards. Pretty much any role. Personally, I've seen pretty much any role that isn't, usually a core function of whatever the business is. So, obviously, if you're a plumbing company, I haven't, at least not yet, haven't seen, fractional plumbers or something like that. But when it comes to anything that's, I guess what you would kind of define as a non-core role, whether it be, technical or finance or, HR or otherwise, fractional, very popular.
Well, and with that, and for you business owners out there, you might be saying, you keep using the word fractional. But all it's doing is taking a traditional position where you would have hired someone full time and said, you're an employee and you're going to help us with all of our technical work. You bring in another company and that company serves as that. And the price point for that in many cases could be significantly lower. They will not show up to work every day, but they will be there and they will follow along with your business enough to where whatever service they're providing, it will be adequately taken care of just in a minimal role. So you could have a fractional CIO, you could have a fractional CEO, if you will. You could have a fractional anything in the event that your budget says we can't have a full-time person, but we do need to make sure that we're paying attention to this element of our business. And as you've seen the world change, Joe, you've seen individuals or entities rather say, we need this even if it's seasonal. We need this even if it's only for half a year until we can bridge into another solution. But this is something now that's become more popular that allows a business to take advantage of the services without having the expenses that they otherwise would have. Let's transition that a little bit and even talk about how, remote working, which we all are familiar with due to COVID, but I'd like to look at it a little bit differently, saying that this is a way to extend your distribution channels and the work through your human capital in a way that maybe was frowned upon before, but now it just becomes a different method of operation. How much more remote work are you seeing? And then eventually we'll get into the nuts and bolts of what remote work looks like.
Sure. So, yeah, and I guess to kind of tie a tail on your last point there, and kind of leading into our next bit of conversation here. Yeah, I think you hit it exactly there, which is, with the fractional, services, it really, in a lot of cases, it comes down to, what I'd like to call the elasticity of, especially when it comes to something like IT services, a company that's, maybe has, less than 20 full-time employees, their demand for IT services is, it may be, it certainly could be seasonal depending on the business. But, it also just kind of ebbs and flows with the kind of projects that they may be undertaking at any given time. So it really makes a lot of sense, for smaller organizations, as opposed to, pinning down a full-time employee and allocating, all the budgetary resources that takes, and then all the, the time constraints that involve in terms of managing and, managing, both the person and benefits and, all that, it really, kind of lets your dollar go a lot farther.
Well, let's look at that when we talk about remote, because remote is more than just I stay at home and work, or I'm allowed to work from wherever I am. I've seen every format of remote working, and I'll just put a little bit out there for the audience for a reference point. But in some instances, you have some of your workers just working from home, but you're monitoring their work. So they have to clock in. They have to be on the computer a certain amount of time. If they have, longer than acceptable idle times, then they are penalized for that behavior. You have some that are still on company software, and so they can't just work from anywhere. They have to work from a specified location, and that IP address is followed and it pings, and so therefore they're actually restricted to a certain area. You've got other companies that say, we don't care where you are, how you log in, as long as the work gets done. And there's no requirement on an hourly reality. They just kind of have projects, or they have a certain amount of, you know, items to complete in a day. And as long as they do that, they're fine. You know, talk to us a little bit about, number one, how much of that have you seen in the diversity of remote working? And then number two, what are some of the technological challenges that come with remote working?
Sure. So, yeah, as a company, you know, we went from probably, I would say, maybe spending, you know, as a company, 5 to 10% of our client time in any given period working and assisting with remote work solutions, you know, and that was in March of 2020 to, you know, here we are 2 years later, and it's probably 50 to 60% of our time. So, yeah, so it's definitely the world changed very quickly as far as expectations for remote work. And what we're seeing now is kind of, I guess for the lack of better terminology, kind of a second phase or a long-term sustainment of remote work amongst a number of our customers. You know, especially, I guess, you know, still within the small business space, but kind of, you know, in the kind of the sort of larger end, you know, not necessarily micro business, you know, but, you know, figure, you know, organizations with, you know, between 50 and 100 full-time employees, we're really starting to see it where they're, you know, kind of not really pulling back on remote working, but just kind of going back, kind of setting long-term expectations with their staff, you know, maybe revamping a little bit and doing something a little bit more permanent in, as far as remote work, you know. So there were some organizations that, you know, during early on in the pandemic and the need, you know, for, you know, just speed of deployment, you know, did, you know, set up some solutions that were maybe good at the time, but, you know, now that there's kind of an opportunity to everybody, you know, sort of take a breath and take a longer term view, you know, both in terms of strategy and budget, you know, kind of going back and sort of revamping those plans somewhat.
Well, so, you know, yeah. You know, looking at that and revamping your plans, looking at how you're constituted, you know, there's, you know, is it confusing to the business owner when they say, well, you know, we have to offer this? I mean, they were forced to offer it in COVID, and there were some other mechanisms in place. I mean, heck, you had, you know, government supplemental dollars to assist with that. You had the world responding in a different way. So if your customer service suffered some because of how you're typically doing business, you were kind of given a pass because everyone was figuring life out. But what does that look like now that we're on the other side of it? And even though remote is still somewhat normalized in the minds of the consumers, and I would venture to say the employers, but has there been new challenges as to, well, how do we do this in a very seamless way? How do we do it more efficiently? How do we do it from a cost standpoint? Are we now open in other areas that we weren't open in before from a risk standpoint? What does that look like when navigating the dialogue with these business owners from your way?
Yeah. So, absolutely. You know, and so, you know, when we help our customers navigate it, you know, we try to take a more holistic, consultative approach, and not just look at the technology aspect of it, because a lot of it goes back to, you know, kind of the HR aspect of it, you know, a human capital management aspect. In a lot of ways, you know, also, you know, ties back to company culture too, you know, and what, you know, what a, you know, what, you know, what the culture of the organization can support. You know, you kind of actually have to figure some of the, you know, especially if you're looking at this as a long-term thing, you know, where if you're taking a 5-year time horizon on this, you really kind of need to look at your HR policies and your procedures, you know, the kind of positions you have, and evaluating whether or not those, you know, the people that you have in those positions, that they're going to be appropriate for, you know, long-term, you know, remote work, whether it's 100% or, you know, a hybrid approach where you're in the office, you know, part of the time. So, you know, in the interest of that, what we try to do, you know, we've put together, from lessons that we've learned over the last couple of years, we've put together some model policies and procedures, to help organizations, with sort of those human resources management aspects of it. So, we've got some checklists that you can use to kind of evaluate on a position by position basis whether a position, irregardless of the person, person or persons currently in that position, whether or not they are appropriate, whether or not that position is appropriate for remote work. Maybe they're, having to handle mail or your customer interactions have to be in person, whatever the reason is, evaluating that position, to determine the suitability for, whether it's 100% remote or partial remote. Then step two, evaluating the person or persons in that position for their suitability, for working remotely. So, just because somebody has a position that could be done remotely, perhaps it's a newer employee or an employee that's had some disciplinary issues, whatever it may not be appropriate, for that, that person to be working remotely. So that's kind of our first step there.
You know what, let's look at that. And, because remote is one thing, I would say hybrid working is something else. And because of that, of a hybrid working environment, talk to us a little bit about, number one, how easy or difficult that is from a integration of technology standpoint, tracking standpoint, protection standpoint. And then are there any examples that you can provide that lead to the importance of a hybrid working solution, in the industry as well?
Sure. So, so I'll give you an example. So, kind of starting from the technical aspect, so as a company, one of our key products is something that we call Skinny Office Workspace, which is a turnkey remote work or hybrid work solution that we deliver. We can deliver it either 100%, remote cloud-based, where everything is all cloud-hosted, remote desktops, and you don't have any IT infrastructure at your office, even if you have an office. We have organizations that don't even really have a what you would call a central office, we can deliver that within. And I know we're talking about hybrid work, but within our own delivery model, we would also call it a workspace hybrid. Which is something where we can kind of mix and match, either have it be, some employees are using complete remote cloud-based setups and some employees are using traditional desktops, laptops, and integrating with some manner of on-premise IT infrastructure, kind of blending that all together. So within that, as I mentioned, it is turnkey. So within that, we are providing 100% of the services, both for implementation and ongoing operations, that you would need for sustaining remote work or hybrid work. So, think about just in the back of your head, the remote access capabilities, all the security, as far as, the endpoint agents to protect the, both the machines that are on-premise and remotely with the employee, just to kind of provide basically an end-to-end security blanket across the entirety of the solution. So from a technical standpoint, that's what we're delivering. And then, with that kind of being the base, then we start to layer services, professional services on top of that, which is kind of what I was mentioning, where we, have, some assistance we can offer with, policy and different sort of implementation aspects that are maybe not necessarily traditionally identified as technical deliverables.
Well, looking at some of those technical deliverables, those things may sound essentially foreign to a business owner because they don't live in that space. So a lot of times they're like, just set it up, make sure it doesn't break, and let me make my video calls, or let me send my emails, or let me create my documents. They don't understand all of that. But when you're looking at remote working and the digital experience and the monitoring of the digital mm-hmm. experience, you know, yes. even though it could be something as simple as making sure your internet connection is sound, so therefore you don't have those interruptions, it actually takes a really good infrastructure to piece that together. That's not just as simple as I called Verizon and I cut on my hotspot. Can you walk up the business owners through what that might look like on your side and how it makes for a superior work experience?
Absolutely. So yeah, let me kind of, you know, go full circle here. So you know, so one of the you know, when you've, you know, you've got an employee that you've got lined up, they're going to work remotely. One of the things we recommend is presenting a document to that employee that basically sets expectations. You know, basically mutual expectations for the working arrangement for remote work. One of those things that we recommend is in that documentation is basically a set of technical sufficiency standards, which is kind of a mouthful there, but basically what that means is that the employee essentially has an internet connection that meets certain specifications. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot, but you know, something that isn't a satellite connection out in the you know, out in the middle of nowhere, that's, you know, not going to be able to sustain, you know, voice and video. Basically, you know, just defining, you know, what is required, you know, from the internet connection that remote worker is at, you know, to have a satisfactory working experience. So once that's been established, what we have seen and what we have found that there's value in long term is being able to continually monitor the quality of that kind of digital experience. So you know, and this is, you know, this is good for the employee, it's good for us as the service provider, and it's good for the business. You know, everybody kind of has a stake in, you know, this being this digital experience being an ongoing, you know, from quality, a quality standpoint, so that, you know, as you're working throughout the day, you know, you're not getting disconnected, you're not having video issues, you're not having quality issues. You know, from our standpoint as the service provider, that ends up, you know, taking up a lot of time. If that, you know, connection is not satisfactory, you know, because the you know, we'll get, you know, continual tickets from you know, the organization, you know, to look at issues with, you know, remote connections. Obviously, if that person's in meetings or, you know, there's an interruption to productivity. So, like I said, everybody kind of is a stakeholder in that process. So we've got a solution that we deploy along with our remote working stack that basically monitors that. So if, you know, over a, you know, 5-hour period or a 10-day long period, you know, we can look at trends on each user's internet connection and determine, hey, you know, they're not getting enough throughput from their internet provider, from, you know, Spectrum or whoever it may be. You know, at that point, somebody needs to go back and talk to the ISP, you know, to get that corrected. Or, you know, the employee may be, you know, if they are, you know, working from a hotspot connection or something like that, you know, then it may be a case where, you know, the business needs to go back, you know, with that technical sufficiency agreement, you know, and basically remind the employee that they did consent as part of the remote working agreement. That they would provide an internet connection, you know, suitable for the task.
Well, you know, you're talking about a lot of systems we're looking at, and not just the systems itself, but that also leads into what equipment should a company have. So if you're a business owner out there, and let's say you've got 10 employees, 20 employees, and you've got a hybrid mm-hmm. workspace, or maybe you've had to liquidate some of your office space, and now everyone's working remotely, well, you may be charged with providing the equipment to make sure that the operation can still, you know, run smoothly, that you can provide the customer service that your customers are used to you receiving. But it could be a headache just getting the equipment there or wiping the equipment in the event that a turnover takes place. And then how do you extract the data or you know, protect the data. So talk to us a little bit about that. If I'm a business owner and I'm saying, how do I navigate this in the midst of turnover, or I have a scenario where I'm providing all of the equipment necessary?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, that sort of logistics process, you know, a big consideration or a big aspect of that, and I think you mentioned it earlier, is, you know, if I'm looking at this, I'm a business owner, you know, what are my risks, or what, you know, what am I potentially exposing myself to, you know, by, you know, having employees working remotely, you know, and a lot of that risk, you know, or one of the areas where a lot of that risk, you know, if you look at it from a kind of an aggregate standpoint, where a lot of that risk comes from is the simple fact that you have employees that are taking company-owned devices, or they're working off of personal devices, to, you know, depending on the nature of the arrangement. But they're, you know, taking those off-site, whether it's into their houses or into hotels or co-working spaces, you know, wherever it may be, you know, and in a situation where you have a 100% remote worker, you know, if that person leaves, whether it's under their own volition or it's a, you know, it's a termination situation, you know, now you have a situation where you have company-owned property, you know, which, you know, is, you know, it kind of represents its own sort of loss, but probably more concerning is you have the potential to have company-owned data or company-managed data, you know, that may contain, you know, whether it's sensitive company information, or it could contain personally identifiable customer information. Now you have that kind of sort of out there on devices that, you know, potentially on devices that you haven't, you know, that are not physically within the control of your organization. So, you know, to kind of help manage that process, you know, as a, you know, as part of our solution, you know, in the services stack that we provide, we handle those kind of logistic issues on behalf of our clients. So, you know, if you've got, you know, a remote employee who, you know, is located out in Colorado, you know, we can handle that process in terms of, you know, after you have onboarded that person from an HR standpoint, and, you know, they're, you know, ready to be, you know, given access to, you know, company data or company resources. You know, we work with the business. Generally, how we do it is kind of ahead of time. You know, we work with the business to kind of define whatever their standard configuration for remote workers is. We kit all that equipment, pre-configure it. We have documentation that we include with it, and put the whole thing in a box. It gets shipped directly to the new employee. We help walk them through the process of actually connecting it, you know, when it comes out of the box. We support, you know, the equipment for the entire life that, you know, it's being used by that employee. And then, you know, depending on, you know, how long that you know, that person's employment lasts, you know, maybe in 3 years, you know, that equipment gets refreshed with newer stuff, or, you know, if that employee for one means or another leaves the organization, at that point, you know, we basically reverse that process. So we coordinate, you know, getting the equipment returned, make sure that everything that gets returned matches what was sent out, and then take care of, you know, if there's any data destruction that needs to happen, or, you know, just secure, you know, e-cycling of the equipment as part of that kind of long-term asset management process. You know, kind of, you know, basically handles the whole thing completely turnkey, you know, because like anybody, you know, if you've ever shipped anything, you know, just that logistics process and, you know, kind of, you know, getting everything out there, making sure it gets delivered, making sure it gets hooked up right, that's a lot of effort just on its own. And, you know, within organizations that we're working with, you know, everybody kind of has high turnover right now. So, you know, that makes it an even, you know, even bigger challenge, you know, when you're, you know, basically, you know, turning employees over in a, you know, if it's a contact center environment or, you know, something like that where there's, you know, high turnover, you know, that logistics process is a big piece just on its own.
Well, you know, there's a lot that I hear within what you're describing. And for my listeners out there, please take a note that I harp on this almost every show. It's something that I tell all my patients. But sometimes we can try to circumvent certain processes, or we might look for a quicker way. I submit to you that there are no shortcuts. And I say that because we can attempt to shortcut our technology, but what ends up happening is that it creates a bigger problem in the end. So you want these things to be set up appropriately. You want to have the right process. You want to have the right workflow. You want to have the right processes and procedures in place. And if you have, you know, an entity that can assist you with, number one, setting up your infrastructure, number two, managing that infrastructure, and number three, servicing that infrastructure, it actually makes your life easier. It makes you faster at doing the job that you created, which is a business to do a certain service or offer a certain product. What you don't want to do is say, hey, I'm going to kind of take the quick way out, and then all of a sudden you've lost all your data, or your data's been compromised, or someone comes to work for you for 2.5 months, they understand everything that you have and they extract it from you, on and on. You want to have protective measures as you set this up. And for certainly, you don't want to offer a service that is part of what you offered before, because you're trying to find a way to kind of skimp out on your technology stack or how you set up your infrastructure. You want your customer base to still engage with you and interact with you in a way that made you successful in the first place, or scale your business to the level that you want it to go. Joe, we're going to take a quick break here and identify the station. And today's episode of Doctor's Orders is brought to you by Pro Elite Training. Pro Elite Training, that's two words, or one word, pro, and then the word elite. One word, Pro Elite Training is the patented way to train through the metronome of music to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace. You can train with NBA, NFL, and MMA fighters in order to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace. So whether you're a young person looking to make your junior varsity team, or if you're an older person just looking to stay in shape, you can do so with Pro Elite Training. You can find it at GetProElite.com. Once again, that's GetProElite.com. Or you can download it in your Google or your App Store at Pro Elite Training. So once again, train with professional athletes to increase your muscle memory, rhythm, tempo, and pace with Pro Elite Training. And if you just joined us, we are talking today with our guest, Joe Toth of Tier 5 Managed IT Company. And we are talking about all things remote working, hybrid working, fractional technology work. And if you want to join the conversation, you can do so at 859-291-2255. Once again, that's 859-291-2255. Or you can send me a note directly if you have questions, and I'll take that offline at info@drbaker.us. That's info@drbaker.us. And so, Joe, we're sitting here just really helping small business owners understand just the mentality around setting up for hybrid work or complete remote work, some of the risks that are associated, and some of the things they should be mindful of as they go ahead and create that environment to do so. One thing that may not sound like technology, but it is, but it's really looking at the personal policies, the procedures, the agreements for that, you know, and what are some of the, I would say, the high points that a business owner should really pay attention to that would keep them from what I would call a trick bag, if you will, in the event that they don't have it? What are either some of the things that you see, or what would you consider to be best practices?
Sure. So, before the break, I had mentioned, you know, the idea of, you know, the technical sufficiency of, you know, a remote worker's internet connection. But, you know, within that, I say, you know, there are some other considerations that are, you know, maybe not, you know, as, you know, not necessarily technical, but, you know, have to do with the appropriateness of, you know, the employee's environment that they're going to be working in, you know, that need, you know, kind of need to be, you know, sort of scoped out ahead of time, you know. So, you know, if you have somebody who is dealing with confidential customer information, or, you know, whether proprietary information, health information, you know, things like that. You know, making sure that, you know, if you have an employee that is going to be working, you know, or intends to work in a public co-working space or a library or a coffee shop or something like that, you know, the mere process of, you know, that person having conversations, you know, on the phone, you know, or having things up on their, you know, up on their screen in a public area, is not divulging, you know, proprietary or personally identifiable customer information. So that's kind of another consideration that, you know, people don't always think about, you know, from a business risk standpoint when, you decide, yeah, okay, we're going to let, you know, this job role or this person work remotely. You know, making sure that that's, addressed and standardized in policy and procedure. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, when looking at just an individual's appropriateness for doing work remotely, looking back, you know, making sure that there isn't, you know, there aren't any open disciplinary issues, you know, that there aren't, you know, training issues or, you know, gaps in training that, you know, are going to cause an issue. If there may be an existing issue that working remotely isn't going to, you know, make that issue work. So, you know, it really does need to be looked at from more than just a, you know, a technical standpoint. It really is, you know, represents a pretty big change and, you know, it's not just plucking somebody out from a desk in an office and, you know, letting them be wherever there's, you know, there's kind of other considerations, you know, beyond just that hardcore technology aspect that you really need to look at.
Well, you know, I always talk about a holistic approach when you analyze your business, when you sit back and you say, okay, how do I look at my company and then what things do I need? A lot of times people see their business as isolated issues, and I'm going to use the body as a reference point. You know, people say, well, hey, I like to get abs, hardcore abs, right? I'm pretty sure you said that, right, Joe? Is that you want that six-pack, right? That famous six-pack.
All the time, yeah, all the time.
Right, and so as you say that, they say, well, I'm going to go do crunches. I'm going to go do sit-ups, and that's not the way to go get abs. It actually has a lot to do with how you sleep, what you drink, what you eat, when you eat, how much cardio you get versus how much strength work you do. It legitimately is a holistic approach. So even if you felt great about the physical aspect of working out, but you felt terrible about the discipline it takes from what you're putting in your body, that might create a philosophical mismatch, and therefore you'll never obtain the abs. Make good sense, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Well, then the same thing with technology is a lot of times people think about the nuts and bolts of the technology, but they don't think about the other elements when it comes to integrating the technology. So even updating your policies, writing out, you know, your standards of operating procedures, all of those things have to do with how do we interact with technology. Do you find yourself, based on your client profile, your experiences, and things that you've seen, do you find yourself just strictly sticking to the technology components, meaning, you know, the robot, if you will, or do you see yourself having to educate on how you need to implement and how you need to integrate in comparison to actually dealing with the technical aspect? What is that balance like for you?
Sure. So, yeah, a great question. And, as I mentioned, the largest portion of our book of business is small enterprises. You know, within that, but, you know, that said, we've got some larger enterprises we work with, and, you know, and so I have a pretty, feel like I have a pretty good perch from, you know, from which I can kind of, you know, definitely see the differences when you go from, you know, the small business space into working with a customer that's, you know, say coming from the Fortune 500 space. You know, in that small business space, you're absolutely right. You know, the thing in some cases, you know, obviously, I don't mean to minimize any of it. The technology piece is certainly hard. But, you know, our companies come to us with the expectation that, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to take care of the technology piece. And, you know, we just need to buy some kind of widget or implement some kind of, you know, cloud solution and all our problems are going to go away. And that's unfortunately not the case more often, you know, than not, which is, you know, the success or failure of all these things rests entirely on taking a holistic approach to it. Because, you know, like we've been talking about here, if, you know, your HR policies and procedures, you know, and you know, to support and manage remote working, if they're not in place and they're not up to snuff, there's going to be problems somewhere along the line. They may not be problems with the technology aspect of the solution, but if you look at it from the standpoint of a business owner, you're going to look at it and be like, well, I'm ultimately dissatisfied with this direction. It's caused problems. We've had customer service issues, or we've had training issues, whatever they are. Technology is only a part of the pie. When you look at a solution, for a business problem, and so absolutely, answer your original question. We get involved with small organizations. We get involved a lot more with helping with sort of the administrative and policy and procedural and training aspects to technology services than I would have ever thought we would have when I started this 6 or 7 years ago. So it's been interesting to see, you know, kind of how that's evolved. If that wasn't the case, then yeah, you could just go out to, you know, Micro Center or Best Buy or somewhere like that and, you know, pick up whatever widgets you needed, and, you know, you'd be good to go. But, you know, all those widgets and all those things kind of all have to fit into a larger, complex, machine. And the difference, as I'm kind of getting at, between a smaller organization where I can do that and say a Fortune 500 company is, and that's, you know, I'm sure, you know this is better than I would, the difference there is, is those resources. A Fortune 500 company has, they have those HR analysts and those HR line managers and, all those IT people to, handle the training aspects of it. And, this group handles the security aspect of it. Best case scenario, in a lot of our customers, there's one person who's there, responsible for, doing a lot of those roles. So it's, and again, that goes back to that, where we kind of started our conversation today on that fractional, those fractional services. And, as a smaller enterprise, those are the kind of opportunities that you need to identify, so that you can, be standing with, shoulder to shoulder with a larger organization.
Well, thinking about how, if we were to point this at bigger than micro or boutique, but smaller than a medium-sized small business. So once again, 8 employees, 22 employees, somewhere within that range, is that, we're looking at, I got to balance this thing. I got to find a way to say, do I need, onslaught of technology and widgets, or do I need some type of off-the-shelf solution, or do I need a bunch of different, solutions to kind of bridge this together? What is your opinion of that? I mean, I know that most scenarios are customizable or subjective based on each company, but I guess in generalities, how do you view how they navigate this thought leading toward good decision making?
Sure. Yeah, and that's really that's where it really our role is kind of that fractional or virtual CIO really kind of comes into play and really kind of delivers a lot of value for organizations. So I'll give you an example of a project we're in the middle of right now, or well, not necessarily in the middle of, actually really just kind of getting started, which was we've got a customer who came to us, a longtime customer. We've been working with them for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. And, you know, they've identified some weaknesses within their accounting system. You know, and so it's the system that they're currently using. They've got a couple staff accountants, and, you know, they're finding that from a inventory management standpoint, and then just a general record and bookkeeping standpoint, it's not really keeping up with the needs of the business, and they're looking for a new solution. That said, tier five, we are not, you know, an accounting software company. You know, that's not, you know, that's not a specialty of ours. But we do have partners that are, you know, that is their specialty. And, you know, so what we're able to do is, you know, sit down with the business, you know, in this case, it's the CEO and one of their senior accounting people, kind of talk about, you know, sort of the pain points, what they're up against. You know, we know what their existing environment looks like, you know, from an IT standpoint, and, you know, kind of what, the, you know, their existing processes are. Then we're able to kind of help them vet and ultimately help manage the implementation of, you know, whatever alternative accounting package, you know, that they end up going with. You know, and we'll, you know, certainly have some kind of a role in the implementation in terms of, you know, make, you know, email addresses and things like that have to be set up. But, you know, we're just kind of there to help them, you know, in this case, kind of unravel this knot of, you know, because, you know, they came to us, you know, and, you know, and really the conversation, you know, started with Joe, you know, we've got these frustrations with our existing accounting system. We feel like we've outgrown it, but we don't know where to go next. And we don't know who to talk to. We don't know what the next steps are. You know, and in our advisory role, you know, we're able to work, you know, work with them and really kind of help, you know, figure out and get them on the path and understanding what those next steps are. And, you know, ultimately making sure, you know, that they're, you know, the solution that ultimately gets ended up, you know, gets implemented, you know, will meet their needs and expectations.
Well, when you talk about meeting needs and expectations, how important is it to have an end-to-end solution, management solution of that? And when I say end-to-end, I mean, you know what that looks like in your world, but how do we articulate that to the small business owner that may not know what it means or even understand the importance of having, you know, that access?
Sure. You know, interesting. I've answered this question, you know, in other ways for folks in the past, but I'll give you something that's kind of recent that we've really kind of started to see in the last year and a half or so, you know, which is sort of continuity of operations. And interestingly enough, we're actually seeing this all the way to our largest of customers. So we you know, where, you know, job market being what it is, you know, I don't know, you know, 3.5% unemployment rate, something like that. You know, organizations are having a hard time hanging on to people for at least long periods of time. And so what we've seen a lot of is organizations, you know, like I said, it certainly impacts smaller enterprises harder than it does larger ones. But, you know, we have a number of customers where, you know, they've had a turnover in people that were in, you know, key positions, you know, whether it's finance or, you know, we have some customers that we work with that have IT folks on staff, and we do kind of a co-management and a co-services model. You know, a key person has left the position there, and a lot of organizational knowledge walks out the door with them. And, you know, we've been, you know, through ongoing services and engagements with customers, you know, we've been able to, you know, it's kind of another kind of soft benefit that, you know, again, 6 or 7 years ago, I wouldn't have really thought about. But we've been done a good job for organizations kind of helping maintain that organizational knowledge, you know, regardless of what kind of staffing changes occur with the organization, you know, because we have, you know, multiple employees that are working on, you know, any given project or task or ongoing operation for a customer. So, you know, even as we sort of rotate out staff within our company, you know, we still maintain that, you know, that body of knowledge to, you know, kind of help, you know, when, you know, a new accountant or whatever comes on online and is just like, well, I, you know, where do I get this information or where do I find this or that? Like, more often than not, we've got the answers.
Well, what does it look like when a team that is used to working in office, or maybe they were remote and have to come back to office, and mm-hmm. they've developed some new behaviors and some new baselines for their interaction? What does that look like when we're trying to piece that back together to help them operate more efficiently? Are there other tools that you've seen that's worked really well? For an example, my company, and this is not an endorsement one way or the other, but my company uses Slack for a lot of our communication needs. It helps us internationally. We use Viber for a lot of our international work as well. But what does that look like when you're helping companies even transition back into the office and facilitate better communication through technology?
Sure. So, you know, one thing I first thing I always advise, you know, on this is, you know, and again, it's all, you know, relates a lot to culture and job responsibilities and things like that. But I think you do need to pay attention to people kind of, you know, overdoing it and kind of burning out on, you know, Zoom or Teams meetings, you know, just to, you know, because, you know, what I find in, you know, working in a technology role is, you know, those frequent interruptions during the day make it, you know, obviously very difficult, you know, if you're working on projects and things like that. You know, again, if you're in a sales role or a marketing role, you know, it may be, you know, it may be, you know, pertinent that you're, you know, you've got, you know, half dozen, you know, WebExes or, you know, Zoom calls that you're doing with prospects and customers a day. But if it's a programmer or a graphic designer or something like that, yeah, I think you need to be cognizant that you're not kind of oversubscribing people to remote meetings that are at, you know, at a certain point start to get in the way of productivity. So that's kind of thing one. Thing two is, you know, my next piece of advice is really, and I think you kind of hit it there with in terms of Slack, is finding and adopting tools that are facilitating asynchronous communications. So, things other than, you know, phone calls, because, you know, again, it's, you know, as the sort of expectations for working relation, you know, arrangements have changed, you know, you may have people in different time zones, you know, even within our own country or, you know, around the world, and making sure that you've got good tools that are allowing employees to collaborate with each other, even while the person they're collaborating with may not actively be sitting in front of a computer screen, you know, but that there's, you know, a process and tools in place to kind of, you know, promote that process, you know, with, you know, for, you know, brainstorming or whatever it might be. So those are kind of my two kind of big items on that.
Well, you know, it's funny because from a trend standpoint, there's so many different new normals, I guess. I mean, I'm not even sure, you know, how accurate of a statement that is, but business owners are looking for ways to say, how do I interact in this world? And we're also talking about marrying many different concepts. So when I say marrying these concepts, and I'm sure that you've seen it, considering that you have a national, you know, company literally being placed in Ohio and literally being placed in California, yep. You know, those thought processes couldn't be more divergent, where you've got some business owners, and let's take Ohio for an example, that could be very, very traditional in their operation,
where they may not have upgraded systems even through the pandemic. Whereas working out in California, they might be looking at new technology regularly. And it's not that one is smarter than the other. It's just that technology, as an average, just moves really quickly out in California, where with Ohio being a traditional manufacturing state in the, you know, in the Midwest, they might do things a little slower and they may adopt technology slower. You know, when you're looking at these things, you know, are there anything that you would recommend to the business owner as it relates to pitfalls or obstacles that they just should be aware of, regardless of where they are in the adoption of technology or remote working or fractional workers?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, I think, you know, the biggest pitfall, you know, that I see is getting into it without some kind of idea of an ending or an end destination in mind. That's it was one thing, you know, again, a lot of people had to get into remote working, you know, over COVID, you know, without that sort of ending in mind, you know, just because of necessity. But, you know, but now if you go back, you know, as you have the opportunity to kind of take a breath and kind of take a longer view on this, you really need to start by starting with like, well, what are the advantages of this going to be, you know? And, you know, that may be something like, you know, in the case of my own company, you know, because we do have an office here in Ohio, we've got another office out in California, you know, that lets us extend our support hours, you know, so if somebody needs something at 6:30 Eastern time, you know, here in Ohio, you know, that's still regular office hours, you know, for us in California. So that's, you know, again, that's something where, you know, like I say, you need to really get into it, you know, and look at it from a standpoint of, you know, what are we going to get out of this as an organization, you know, versus just, well, you know, we have to do this, you know, just because it just seems like the way everybody's going. And, you know, yeah, and to some extent, obviously, this is the way everybody's going, but that doesn't excuse you from not, you know, going into it with a plan and really trying to figure out, well, you know, where are some strengths that we can get out of this, you know, so that we make sure that we're spending money wisely and allocating people's time and resources wisely.
Well, you know, with that type of advice, I know I don't need to write a prescription for that. How can anyone reach Tier 5 or you in particularly if they have tech questions, if they need service, any of that?
Sure. So, tier5.com. TIERFIVE.com or skinnyoffice.net, which is our other brand where we do deliver most of our remote work services. So that's skinnyoffice.net. Either of those will get you a complete contact info. Or if you want to reach me directly, JTOTH@TIERFIVE.com is my email. And by all means, reach out. Happy to chat.
Fantastic. Well, everyone, that has been our episode of Doctor's Orders on Tech Tuesday. This is Joe Toth as our guest today from Tier 5. And I hope you have a great day, a healthy and successful business. And I look forward to everybody listening tomorrow on Worldwide Wednesday. We'll have international business expert Raynon Delgado on the show. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.